Be cool, man. Be cool.
God. Oh, God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 89 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast, coming to you from the TuesdayNightMovies.com studios. I almost said TuesdayNight.com studios, and that would be something completely different. I don't even know what that is. I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, you know.
Yeah, we're movie and comic book reviews. They are something else that I'm not even going to look.
They review Delicate Dave.
Yeah, Delicate Dave. Yeah, with me as
well. From last week.
Nice, nice. With me as always is Delicate Dave Tomko, coming to you live from South Jersey, and I am Billy. I think I stepped over the part where you usually say hi to people, Dave. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, hey, guys.
And we're here to talk about comic books that are coming out on Monday. I'm sorry, on Monday. On Wednesday, September 16th. Right off the bat, Dave, Justice League United canceled.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so pissed. This was my favorite DC book.
Like Marvel trying to get you to spend money by making, like, by signing James Robinson and Tony Harris to a C-3PO one shot of all things.
Right.
Meanwhile, DC canceling the book that you seem to love best from them right now.
Yeah, it was the same. I feel as upset as when I found James Robinson was leaving Earth 2.
And I finally read Justice League United number 11, which was the start of this run, and it's great. I was planning on just, you know, reading right through it, and now it looks like I'm not going to have much to read.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's nice that it'll hopefully be a nice little complete story. But I'm so bummed. I had read prior to this that Bleeding Cool was talking about that, like, DC's coming in under its numbers that it expected for this, like, DCU, YOU,
right,
post convergence launch of titles, and with that post convergence launch, the directive was to Batgirlize the titles, to make them more fun, or, you know, whatever Batgirl does,
right,
mimic that, you know, because that's what's working. And, you know, when this all started, they had a their DC sneak peek, DC sneak peeks, mm-hmm, where you could go on and take a look at the new issues. And I read them all, and I was really excited for some of these books. And I think a lot of them are really great. And I remember when we were talking in those weeks, I was saying, you know, it's a bummer that DC gets a bad rap. You know, people are like, you know, come on, do more stuff like Batgirl or Ms. Marvel, or, you know, don't just stick with the house style. And now they're doing it, and now they're getting, you know, crap for it. And now in hindsight, you know, maybe some of it was a little, maybe it rang untrue to people. If it's true that the directive was Batgirlize the books, it seems like you're chasing something that, you know, you can't really chase, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, that's kind of like lightning in a bottle, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And I think what Batgirl did that was good was that it let the creators have freedom.
Yeah.
And if that's what it means by Batgirlizing the books, then cool. But if it means, like, try to make it look hip and trendy,
right,
then maybe, you know, that's why some of this rang, you know, not genuine.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the stuff that came out of this was really cool. You know, like, we both like Dr. Fate. You know, mm-hmm, I love Justice League United, and I've been really enjoying Omega Men. I really feel like, you know, Justice League United, even though it's being canceled with issue 16, it's only given 6 issues to turn around, you know, sales here. And I kind of feel like that's not giving people creative freedom. That's not giving someone a Batgirl book.
Yeah, I feel like DC is really cutting off this title at the knees. Like, this was their chance to basically to have like DC's version of Marvel's Exiles, which was a cross-dimensional, cross-time hopping book that lent itself to a lot of really cool storylines and lasted for years and years. It was a fan favorite, but you know, Marvel gave it like time to build its audience.
Right, and I think on top of that is that you know, it's also that with the mix of the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, where you know Jeff Parker gets to pick from any character in the DC universe he wants.
And I was interested in, like, especially in that preview issue, since he has what is it, Alana Strange basically like interviewing a bunch of different heroes,
Right.
and it's not necessarily all the ones you see in that first storyline. So it was cool to see like what he had planned for
Right, like the Captain Carrot from
that. Right.
Multiversity, you know, like they would be jumping around the multiverse eventually, it seemed like,
Yeah.
which is exciting, which, you know, so, you know, some of this, you know, maybe it's bad marketing. I mean, I feel like those DCU ads are not great. I mean, they look pretty, but I also feel like it's like, I don't know, like DCU, we're about you. Like, you know, it just sounds like stop lying to me. You know, if they actually went out and were like, this is, you know, Marvel's Exiles with, if they got quotes where like it was like Marvel's Exiles meets the JLU cartoon and thematic you know sequel to Multiversity in some ways, like I think you would get so many people picking up that book.
Oh, definitely.
And you know, a lot of that stuff is done by word of mouth, but what we do by other comic book sites, and I feel like, you know, maybe DC could do that a little better.
Yeah, they come out with good stylistic ads, but you're right, they don't like really tell you anything about the books. Now, when they announced a few weeks ago that you know, not every DCU book was going to go for a full year and that some were on the chopping block, Justice League United was not the one that sprang to mind. I figured it would be something like Midnighter, who seems to constantly get a new series every time DC wants to relaunch a bunch of titles, and it constantly fails to like find an audience.
Right. And I didn't think it was going to be the Omega Men either. You know, there's some books where I was expecting them to give them like a long leash, the Omega Men being one. And Justice League United, another one. I was thinking that Justice League 3001 might have been on the chopping block, because I don't think that's had great sales. You know, it's not had terrible sales, but I think that's, you know, around the same numbers as JLU. You know, another book I'd be sad to see go. And also Gotham by Midnight's being canceled too.
Oh
You
man,
know.
so DC is basically saying, like, Dave, we don't want your money anymore.
Right. They're like, you know what? You might just want to buy Marvel.
Yeah. They're like,
Which,
hey, we're going to free up your budget for some image series.
yeah, right. So Gotham by Midnight, I could almost see why it got canceled. It was an interesting story, but you know, on all the covers, you see kind of Spectre in the background, and you know, he's not really brought into the forefront until like, you know, now I guess halfway through the series. And then when he is, then you learn this really cool relationship that Corrigan has with the Spectre, which we talked about, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, where basically he's, you know, he does everything he can so the Spectre doesn't show up, which is like a really cool, you know, twist. But, you know, I think a lot of people bought Gotham by Midnight because they wanted to see the Spectre. So I could see why that might have gotten canceled. Also Lobo, which I'm not really interested in the new Lobo. I guess a lot of people aren't. Doom.
That's Lobo is a series that had backlash before, years before it was ever introduced. When you know they came out with the 3D cover Lobo issue that introduced him.
Mm-hmm. And it's a bummer because I feel like he did look like he walked out of like a superhero Twilight movie.
Yes.
And in that respect, it could have been really funny, you know, if they played it for laughs, like Lobo usually is, but they played it straight. And I think maybe that's where they, you know, they lost touch with, you know, what Lobo the character is, you know.
Yeah, that's. And it's too bad. I would like to see a new 52 take on Lobo, but you know, the Bastich version of Lobo, because I feel like since he is like a parody slash, you know, yeah, like a parody character, that would be good for just lancing like the current things in comics worth parodying.
Yeah, I think, you know, those old Lobo comics did like a good job of like, you know, making him be a formidable character, but also like, you know, being funny and playing it for laughs and knowing that he was kind of like, you know, a little bit tongue in cheek about, you know, what kind of characters he was making fun of, which I think you could do the same thing with, you know, this new version. And, you know, I think down to like maybe giving him like way more seams.
Yeah, definitely. And Mike McCone, who I don't know if he drew any of the new series. I know he was drawing some of the characters' early stuff. I guess because the character appeared in Justice League United when Lemire was writing it, right?
Yeah.
And McCone's an artist who captures humor really well, like back when he was doing Spider-Man. So like if they took this kind of Lobo in that direction, it would be really good, or could be really good, I should say.
Right.
It's a real bummer about Justice League United, because after reading that first issue, and I was like, oh, that Travel Foreman, right, the guy who used to draw Swamp Thing when Scott Snyder started writing it. I was like super excited to read the rest of these issues and to see where the series was going. And it really, really does feel, I already said it was, you know, it feels like it was cut off at the knees, but I feel like that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah. The last book that is canceled is Doomed. That's canceled with issue 6. I don't know if you read any of Doomed, did you?
I read the preview issue and that was it. Like just the five mm-hmm. pages at the end of that Superman comic. And they were really pushing this series as like, oh, you want to buy this issue of, you know, Convergence Superman or Convergence Action Comics, whichever it was, because this is Doom's first appearance. And it just seems that now they're just like, oh, never mind. Forget this is a character who will, like most Bloodlines characters will never show up again.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, I read the sneak peek in that first issue, and you know, I talked about how it was a Spider-Man ripoff,
right? Down to like character names,
right? And so, like, I wish, like, if they went that route, like, again, that they did it with more humor, you know,
right.
Or knowing that, you know, like. It is seemed to be played so straight for being like a Spider-Man like wink, you know.
It should definitely have more of like a wink and a smile attached to it.
Right. And I think that's, you know, where like Deadpool and Harley Quinn work, you know.
Right.
So it seems like, you know, they're interesting choices, and you know, maybe, you know, obviously we don't see everything behind the scenes, and you know that DC is going back to quote meat and potatoes, and you're going to see it return to more of a like new 52 DC universe that we had seen, you know, post Flashpoint,
right?
as far as style, you know, that's a rumor. So, you know, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. It's a bummer. And, you know, what I was going to say is we don't know, like, why these books were picked. You know, is it that, you know, Tom King wanted to do something else, you know, or like, you know, it was between this and, you know, doing something, you know, another book, and that's why it was canceled. You know, who knows? So it's a bummer, but, you know, I hope we see some interesting things come out of the cancellations. You know, every once in a while, you know, you'll be surprised and, you know, the Omega Men will, you know, be canceled, but then in its wake, you will get a Kyle Rayner series that strongly features the Omega Men, which is like their backdoor way of getting people to read the Omega Men, even though it's a Green Lantern comic, you know? So okay. I guess we'll see, but yeah, that was a bummer of news. I forget exactly the tweet I wrote, but I just said, you know, I was really bummed that, you know, JLU by, you know, Jeff Parker was canceled, and it was, you know, my favorite series post Convergence. And so I got a nice favorite from Jeff Parker on Twitter. Yeah. So, you know, I hope he's doing more DC work, DC proper. I know he's doing a Batman 66 miniseries.
Right. He's done a lot of the Batman 66 stuff, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe so. Because I really liked his Aquaman too. So
yeah,
I hope he's sticking around in the DCU and we're going to see something else come our way from him.
Yeah, and then also Catwoman is getting a creative team shakeup. So it's not getting canceled, but this new direction where they hired an actual novelist to write the series is quickly coming to an end.
Right, so it's more like a short story.
Oh, good one.
Burn! Yeah,
this was like the Catwoman becomes Gotham's like mob boss story, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I didn't really care for the sneak peek because I was like, I don't know who all these people are and why is she talking like that? And
yeah, so. it was a lot of characters that were introduced, I believe, in the first volume of Batman Eternal, like because Catwoman's story in that was all leading up to like this run of her series. But that said, I'm one of the people who did not buy the series. I was like, oh, that seems interesting, but not interesting enough to throw down $3 a month on it.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like an interesting concept, but when I read that sneak peek, I wasn't like, you know, really like my interest wasn't piqued.
I feel like it has to be fantastic or else it will be like on the boring side.
Right, right. To
me, it just seems like something that would have come out of No Man's Land. Like, not No Man's Land figuratively. I mean, the actual Batman storyline from, like, the late 1990s.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a cool idea. It could probably, like, match. You know, at first I was like, well, maybe they're matching it to the Gotham TV show where they're doing a lot of mob stuff. But the Selina Kyle on there is like, you know, 14 years old or something like that, you know?
Right.
So it's a little weird. You know, the thing that I would be bummed about is if they took Catwoman back to like, you know, her costume halfway unzipped and, you know.
Well, I feel like that's what you can expect because the writer on the book is going to be Frank Thierry, who to me is like, textbook, like I just am never interested in anything Frank Thierry writes. Like he just tends to you know, he does like I guess like grim and gritty. I feel like he's really big into characters with knives. Like, you know, he wrote Weapon X for a while. Like he takes like serious takes on Deadpool. He wrote like Wolverine, but it's never
that's the funniest line of this podcast. he writes serious takes on Deadpool.
Yeah. Like, that's what, like, he takes Deadpool, but takes all the humor out of the character. And the same, like, I think he wrote Thunderbolts for a while, and he keeps getting work. So someone has to, and I think he might have wrote Wolverine Origins as well. But I just, like, his writing just doesn't do anything for me. And it, I swear, it really does seem like he, it's just like, you know, he's one of the go-to guys for knives and guns.
Hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's jump over to the Marvelous competition.
Sure.
And we got some cool news coming in from Invincible Iron Man series.
Yeah, Mary Jane Watson is going to join the supporting cast. There, that looks like Tony Stark is going after Peter Parker's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, he does have things for Reddit. I winced too, but I was just working right through it. But you know, he has a thing for redheads.
That is true.
It's
funny the nerd outrage that I saw online when they announced this, and they were like, "That's ridiculous! She is not an Iron Man character."
Well, I think it's going to be really cool because if I'm remembering right now, Peter Parker is running his own tech company now.
Yes.
Post Secret Wars. And so I'm sure he's competition for Tony Stark. So it would be interesting that, you know, his is she his ex-wife in the comics or just never a wife?
According to current continuity, they've never been married.
Okay. So, you know, a former ex-girlfriend.
About that. Yeah.
Ex-fiance is, you know, could be working for Tony Stark, you know, as, you know, doing, you know, whatever, head of marketing, head of whatever. But I think that's a really cool way to, you know, play both books. Like, I think both Dan Slott and Brian Michael Bendis could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is, like, Bendis is writing this Invincible Iron Man comic. It's not like Frank Thierry writing it, you know? And then it really, I feel like his limited scope would just be, like, Tony Stark starts sleeping with Mary Jane. And then Peter gets upset about it. Like, Bendis is a much better writer than that. And Slott's a much better writer than that, too. They might play up on Twitter, like, every fan's fears of what's going to happen in this series. But at the end of the day, they're going to put out quality books.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they're both going to, you know, definitely play this the best way possible. And I mean, loves what Brian Michael Bendis does, and everybody loves what Dan Slott does on everything. So.
Yeah. It's funny, like, the amount of fanboy rage that still surrounds Dan Slott over Spider-Verse, and not even Spider-Verse, like Superior Spider-Man. And then people loved Spider-Verse, but still everyone thinks that Dan Slott, and I shouldn't say everyone thinks that, a vocal minority of fans think that Dan Slott hates Spider-Man. And yet all the guy does is like show nothing but love for Spider-Man. Like, if you're a writer, you can't just be like, I'm writing a story where everything goes great for this character all the time. It'll be the most boring book in the world. Yeah, so just moving on to the next bit of news, as we've got some cool TV news. Marvel and Netflix announced a release date for Marvel's Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I did not watch the teaser trailer. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. It was like, you know, kind of like watercolory, dark, very similar to like the covers of Alias.
Yeah, like the David Mack covers.
Yeah. So, it looks like it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of looked like the covers of the comic. It was definitely a tease. Mm. I hope it's going to be awesome. And I'm sure it will.
That's coming this year. Like, this is going to be right around the corner. It's coming out November 20th. So Thanksgiving weekend, plan to watch 13 hours of Alias.
Yeah. You know, don't spend quality time with your family.
Well, that's what Thursday is for.
don't get deals.
Yeah, what would you rather do? Like wake up at 4 a.m. to go stand out in the cold outside of Best Buy, or wake up at 4 a.m. and just marathon all the way through Alias?
Well, I know what my wife would say.
Best Buy?
Neither.
She'd say there's a Twilight marathon on somewhere and I'm going to find it.
I don't think she's ever watched a Twilight movie.
Oh, really? Hmm. I don't know. Yeah. There'd be there's a Divergent marathon on somewhere and I'm going to watch it.
Oh yeah. She would be all about that. She'd be like, I'll see you later.
Yeah. And then also we got the first look at the Hawkman and Hawkgirl costumes from DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier in the week and I said, I like this Hawkman costume way better than the Smallville costume, even though Smallville was very, 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 very close to the costume. Felt like, you know, like the helmet in particular just kind of looked like, you know, I don't know, like someone was putting on his dad's hat or something, like a kid was putting on his dad's hat. It didn't look like it fit right or anything, and you know.
But that's kind of like the Hawkman helmet in the comic books. Like it always looks like it fits him poorly. You know, those Hawkeyes are way too high up his head. It's like, where does he actually see out of on this?
Yeah, I can see that. But I do like the costumes.
Nice.
And you had said it, he looked a little bit like a Wolverine costume.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with that brown, like the dark colors make it look like the 1980s brown and yellow Wolverine costume.
Yeah, I could see that. It reminded me of the Tim Truman Hawkworld stuff a little bit. Obviously, that was gray and gold, but like it had that same kind of feel for me.
Mm. Now, so, yeah, I think it's time to play the 20.
I think it is, and I'm gonna start. I'm gonna tell you. Last week, I had like what, like $7?
Yeah, you were like, I don't play the 20 anymore. I'm on like a stricter budget.
Yeah, $7, whatever. And this week, I am like, I don't even know. I have an extra book. I have an extra book. So I'm going to start off with Dr. Fate number 4 by Paul Levitz and Sonny Liu, $3. And if anybody wants my opinion, this is where Batgirling goes great. If you want to Batgirl a book and see it be successful, look at Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
Second place, check out Black Canary. Mm. Black Canary by Brendan Fletcher. And this is guest artist Paya Guerra.
Oh, from Why the Last Man.
Why the Last Man. Yeah. So that's super exciting. I think usually the artist is Annie Wu.
Yes.
And she's a great artist, and it definitely has like a Birds of Prey meets Scott Pilgrim vibe to it. And after that, I'm going to jump on over to All New Hawkeye number 5, written by Jeff Lemire with art by Ramon Perez, and that's a $4 book. I'm loving the series. I think Ramon Perez is like just blowing me out of the water on this book.
Mm.
With his like watercolor washes, jumping back to the past with that, and you know, continuing in the present with, you know, his like standard comic book style. I'm loving the book. I think Jeff Lemire's writing to Perez's talents, and I'm going to keep on buying it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'm going for Bizarro number 4 by Heath Corson and Gustavo Duarte. That's a $3 book from DC. And I just, you know, it's been a blast. You know, Jimmy and Bizarro are on a road trip to Bizarro USA, aka Canada, and along the way they're stopping everywhere in the DC universe. And this is one of those convergence titles or post-convergence titles that doesn't really hold to any continuity, really. You know, it's Bowtie Jimmy Olsen. It's played for laughs. You know, a lot of the times they're going to Starling City in the CW universe, and, you know, in one book, and the next, you know, they're jumping over to Gotham, and, you know, it's been a blast, and I love Bizarro's sidekick. Oh, I can't remember his name, but he's a Chupacabra.
Really?
I think his name's like, yeah, his name's like, I don't know. I forget what it is, but it's like, you know, Hernando, the Chupacabra or whatever. And it's his, like, his little sidekick. So it's been a great, great read every week, or every month rather. After that, I'm jumping over to The Martian Manhunter by Rob Williams and Eddie Barrows, $3 book from DC. It's been an interesting twist and turns, and I really enjoyed The Martian Manhunter as a character, and I'm liking the series. After that, I'm going to go to Constantine the Hellblazer by Ming Doyle and James Tynion IV, with art by Vanessa Del Rey. That's a $3 book, and that will bring me in at $19. I've been enjoying the new Constantine series. It's a little bit more darker than what's been going on, less superhero-y. It kind of reads more like old Constantine stuff, but in the DCU. My last book that puts me over is Armor Wars number 5, which is the last book in that series by James Robinson and Marcio Takara.
Right.
And that will bring James Robinson's Secret Wars miniseries to an end.
Yeah, yeah. I was really hoping we'd get a new issue of Secret Wars this week, but nothing on that front. Hopefully next week is when it's been pushed back to. So what are you up to? What was that? That was a little more than $20.
Yeah, it was $23. If I add in Armor Wars, so.
Yeah, well, you've been so diligent about keeping a budget lately. I think we can let it go.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks.
You're welcome. I feel like I'm pulling a Dave this week. There's a lot of stuff. Like, I could probably fill up $20 just because comics are pricey. But there's just not that much out there. I am excited for Captain America White Number 1 by Loeb and Sale. And
that almost made my list, but I was like, man, I love reading Loeb's and Sale's books, like, all together in one shot.
Oh, interesting. Because I've bought every one of their, you know, color series from Marvel in single issues, and absolutely love them as single issues, and then, you know, reading them all together afterwards. So, you know, the $5 price tag is kind of like a little punch to the stomach, though, but, you know, I'll take it. All right. And then, yeah, All New Hawkeye with by Lemire and Perez. I really like that Kate Bishop is still around in this series. So, you know, I'm down for that. That brings me up to $9. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to spend $20, but I'm almost halfway there. It's just two comics. then the next thing is Agent Carter, S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th Anniversary Number 1. And I was thinking about skipping this over, but then I saw that Catherine Immonen was writing it, and she's a really good writer. You know, I've read her stuff mainly from, she did the Journey into Mystery series when Sif was the star of it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And she and her husband Stewart have done a bunch of indie comics together. She's a very talented writer, and I do like Agent Carter from the TV show, so I'd pick that up. That brings me up to $13. Yeah, $13. So, yeah, like, I'm two issues, I'm basically like two comics away from not being able to spend any more money. I'm surprised that Dave 2 from IDW, Dave 2 number 1, didn't make it. I figured everybody named Dave would give that series a sales boost.
Oh, you know, I read, like, the single issue of that. I think that's a Monkey, is that a Monkey Brain comic, or is that just a...
It is a Monkey Brain comic, and I think that... IDW then puts them out in print later on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I remember reading, like, the first issue and enjoying it, but you know, being like, oh, wait and see if there's another Monkey Brain sale down the line.
Now I did there. Let's see. Yeah. And then, so now we're getting to the spot where I'm not sure what to pick up. I'm at $13. So I'm going to jump on Robin, Son of Batman, number 4. I read a really good interview with Patrick Gleason about this series recently, and it made me want to just like read through his whole run of this, because I love Damian Wayne. I know a lot of people don't, but I love him for the same reason that I love like Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man. It's just like a refreshing take. And I also love that Damian Wayne just isn't like the snot-nosed punk Batman, Robin. He's not like Poochie, you know, from The Simpsons. Like he's like an awesome character in his own right, because he's actually had like growth since his introduction. Like he started out like so bad, and they've actually redeemed him. So that brings me up to $17. I guess I have enough money for a $3 comic, and for that I will jump to Dr. Fate. Yeah, it's like Dr. Fate or Bizarro is a tough call, but I'm gonna go with Dr. Fate just because I'm loving that series so much.
Yeah,
and they capture Brooklyn so well in that. And I will be leaving Doom number 4 on the table, because that series, as we talked about earlier, is doomed. Boom.
It is doomed.
Yeah. So that's my 20. I actually got it to exactly $20. Surprise, surprise.
So what did you read this week?
Well, I read Justice League United number 11, which, you know, we talked about earlier. And I loved it. And then besides that, what I read was I've been just diving into Marvel Digital Unlimited. And I read Jonathan Hickman's entire run of The Ultimates, which basically introduced the Ultimate Reed Richards as like a villain. Like he was the villain.
Right. You started that last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I had gotten like 3 issues into it. But then I just read through the entire rest of his run. And he does the first year of it. And then I forget who takes, I think Sam Humphries takes over afterwards. And I was just like, I really just wanted to see what Hickman was doing there. Like, I didn't care for the Ultimates enough to keep going. And then I started reading Hickman's run on Fantastic Four.
Oh, man.
Came earlier on. That began with issue 570. I've read
three. I'm gonna tell you something right now.
Sure.
You missed the Dark Reign miniseries that he writes before that.
Okay. I'll have to look that up then.
I think it's on Unlimited. It wasn't before, but I think they just added it like recently. Yeah. And that actually plays into what goes on here, in Fantastic Four, as well as his S.H.I.E.L.D. series. So, the Secret Warriors.
Right.
But the S.H.I.E.L.D. Illuminati type series.
Yeah, I was wondering if I should read S.H.I.E.L.D. before I read this Fantastic Four run.
What I did is I just looked up like publishing dates, and that's then funny. Like I just read them in that order. And it worked out pretty nicely, because you do see a bit of, not a lot, but it kind of ties in nicely when you see like Reed Richards' dad and stuff like that.
That makes sense. So maybe I will go back and I'll look up the publication dates. I've read the first 5 issues of his run on Fantastic Four, and it has me hooked. And I noticed like subtle references to S.H.I.E.L.D. Like Valeria has all of, you know, like Leonardo da Vinci and a bunch of other thinkers like hanging on the wall in her bedroom and stuff. And I was like, maybe I should be reading S.H.I.E.L.D. first before I read this.
Yeah, I think he starts S.H.I.E.L.D. after that. I can't remember.
I'll have to look up the publication dates and see. But I mean, on the other hand, I might just like read right through Fantastic Four and see how that.
I mean, it reads fine without it, you know. But right. Like, it's just one of those things where you know, like when you watch Doctor Who and Torchwood, you're like, oh, I see it all, you know.
Right.
But, you know, you could totally watch either separately, as you could do with Fantastic Four and, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. series. That doesn't even end the second miniseries.
So, 5 issues into that. I feel like I'm just going to keep reading it. And then I'd like to read his Avengers run. The problem with that is like that I really do need a checklist for, because it's like Avengers, Secret Avengers, then Infinity gets worked into there, and it's like, which issue do I read first? And like, you know, and I'm just like not really looking forward to that, just because.
Yeah, like, I mean,
it's like the Superman books of the 1990s when you had to like read all four titles to get like the entire story.
Right. I think if Comixology wants to take anything from its now parent company, Amazon, is lists. Like, yeah. Oh my God, do I love lists? Do I love, like, hey, tell me every Green Lantern comic in order. Like, how do I read it?
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, like from New 52 on, you know. Like, include, like, when, like, Larfleeze miniseries. You know, like, I would, like, I love reading stuff like that, so I see how it all fits together. You know, even the bad stuff. Because I think, you know, that's, you learn so much from that. Like, and, like, what, how to write something good, how to write something bad, how things can work together, how things can't. And, yeah. So, yeah. So, did you read anything else? Or is that it?
That's it for me.
Cool. I read a lot.
Oh, nice.
I read Justice League United number 13, which is by Jeff Parker, as we've been talking about. This issue was penciled by Paul Pelletier, who was the artist on on Jeff Parker's run on Aquaman. This issue is great. They are going into a time anomaly, and you know, Vandal Savage is there, and Sergeant Rock is there, and you see their relationship, and you know, it jumps back and forth from the past to the future. You also get Robot Man and Steel, you know, joking around together. Batgirl's there. And Stargirl's leading the whole thing, and it seems awesome. And I think at some point, Frankenstein's going to be there.
Ah.
So, like, it's like a time bubble in France of World War II happening.
Right.
And, or it's actually every war that happened is going on, like, at the same time, because Enemy Ace shows up. You know, this is like a DC fanboys comic. Like, DC, you're doing such a disservice for canceling this.
It really, like, it you know, it celebrates the entire history of the DCU, and like, it, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the motivation behind that. Like, right. Whatever.
And I mean,
they had enough faith in the series to greenlight it initially. Like, give it a full year. Like, half a year just doesn't, unless this thing is bleeding money.
Right. I mean, it's not doing well. I looked at the charts, but there's like a lot of series that aren't doing just as well, you know?
Right.
And maybe they're like, this is a Justice League comic. It should be up there, you know? But who knows? So anyway, it's a great issue. Go and read it. You'll enjoy it. And I also read Justice League, I'll stick with the new books. I read Earth 2 Society number 4 by Daniel Wilson. Pencils by, oh, I removed his name. but anyway, it was, it's the best issue since issue number 1. It kind of explains what's going on from issues 2 and 3, which kind of seem like, you know, hard to understand where everything is happening and how this relates to the Convergence miniseries. And so it's good. I like it. And I just, you know, I wish more issues were like this, you know, a little bit more like explaining what's going on rather than like jumping around this world that we have no idea about, you know.
Right.
I read Justice League of America number 2. I waited for the price drop, so now it's a $2.99 comic instead of a.
And this is the Brian Hitch one, right?
Yeah, and it's so good. It's really good. So, guys, if you guys want to go into Comixology or your DC Comics app and buy $2.99, Justice League of America number two, you want to hold that line at $2.99. It's a great, great read. And gorgeous art. He's got like three different inkers, but it really doesn't show much in the book. And I'm sure that's probably because he's like, okay, here's the next page. Here's the next page. Ink it. I can't ink it. Who can ink it? You can ink it.
And who's inking this series? It's like, I know Paul Neary has inked him a lot, but who is he one of the inkers on there?
Andrew Curry, Daniel Henneckries, Brian Hitch is inking himself on some pages, and Wade Von Graubadger.
Oh, interesting.
It's all colored by Alex Sinclair.
Ah, yeah. Well, Alex Sinclair, great colors.
Right. And I read Constantine, the Hellblazer number two, which I just kind of briefly talked about being really good. And I think, you know, what I said earlier about it, like, kind of going back to older Constantine stuff, you know, they touch on his like bisexuality. They, you know, he's like more of a bastard than he's just being like an anti-hero. You know, he's kind of a jerk. And
so what's more adult, would you say, the Constantine TV show or this comic? And or is this comic kind of like drawing the same tone as the Constantine show?
I would say this comic.
Okay. A little bit. Sounds like it from the way you're describing it.
Yeah, like, I mean, the Constantine show was on NBC. So, right. Like, it was dark and mysterious, but it was also still kind of, like, on NBC.
Like, only as dark and mysterious as an NBC show could get.
Right. I mean, it was a good show, but, like, you know. Yeah. It was on NBC, you know, it played a little bit more like a procedural than, you know, a Constantine comic book would.
Hmm.
After that, I jumped to Black Adam number 1-6. And this took place like right after 52.
Okay.
And so it was about him getting his powers back. It's written by Pete Tomasi.
When you said 52, I thought you meant the new 52. So yeah, this was... after the weekly series.
Yes. Right. That took place after Infinite Crisis.
Right.
And it has art by Doug Monkey, who he is, I think, currently doing Superman Wonder Woman with.
Yes.
And it's a great, great read. I loved it.
Oh, nice.
I think I am developing the same writer crush that you are.
Yeah, I bought all those Pete Tomasi books, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and read them yet. And it's really just because, like, that Marvel Digital Unlimited app, when I'm in it, it's hard to get out of it. I don't mean, like, you know, from a user experience. I mean from, like, I just fall down the rabbit hole where I'm like, ooh, I read this? Okay, I'm going to read this, and now I'm going to read this, and now I'm going to read this.
Right. I know what you mean with that. With that, I read Ecstatics, Volume 1,
nice.
Good Omens, which is the collection of Ecstatics numbers 1-5, art by Pete, or written by Pete Milligan, art by Mike Allred and Allred rather, and Paul Pope, one issue.
Yeah, yeah.
A blast. That book was so before its time. Like, people need to go read it now and like see how much, you know, Pete Milligan was thinking of the future of entertainment.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I absolutely loved it, you know, when it first came out. Like, I bought it in single issues from the start of that run through the end, like the start of that series when it was on X-Force to the end of it. That's interesting. I'll have to go back and reread it.
And I think it would be, you know, I was talking last week how I was reading The Wicked and Divine.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished the second volume, and that was, it made me kind of take back what I said about, like, I wish that new gods weren't just popping up here and there, because it kind of explained it. And I like it way more when I got to the end, and the reveal that happens at the end. I won't spoil it, but it kind of changed my tune, which I'm glad to say it did, you know. But that, you know, talks about pop culture a lot, and, you know, pop musicians and how we view them. And I think, you know, if you are a good companion piece to that, would be Ecstatics, if you're like reading stuff in that vein. You know, totally different take on it, but, you know, very, very similar themes, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, Ecstatics is one of those series where whenever I'm at, like, you know, a comic book convention like New York Comic Con, and I see the omnibus for sale, I'm always like, should I buy that? And it's always the omnibus that I feel like I'm most likely to buy.
Yeah, I've thought about buying it so many times because I wanted to read it. And I've read, like, you know, a handful of, like, the X-Force, Ecstatic things, like, here and there. And just because I really enjoy Mike Allred's art. And I'm so glad that Marvel Digital Unlimited has the whole series.
Right.
Because you can't buy it on Comixology.
Oh, you can't?
No. You can only read it on Marvel Digital Unlimited.
That's amazing that that's the case. You would think it would be the other way around.
Yeah, I would think so too. And I'm like, how does this work? But yeah. Who knows? I don't know. You know, maybe it has something to do with, like, you know, how they pay people or something like that. Yeah, it's a great series. And the only reason I never bought it is, like, I'm not gonna, like, as I'm reading, I'm not going to, like, drag that tomb to work and back. And, you know,
right.
That's when the omnibus gets that big, you know, like, it would be like, you know,
it's painful to read it. Like,
Right. Like, you know, like, that would be like putting Starman all in one, you know, volume.
Right. Yeah. I like the size of the Starman omnibuses. I feel like that's as big as you can get before they just become unwieldy.
Right. You know, they did a good, and then you kind of, like, don't want to read it because you don't want to break the binding and all right. that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I think the Starman omnibuses do a great job with that. And the last thing I read is I got into Captain Marvel by Peter David. And I've been kind of going somewhat chronologically through the Marvel universe, like, starting with, like, 1999, 2000, start of the Ultimate Universe. And I've been reading, you know, like, regular Marvel Universe and the Unlimited, the Ultimate Universe. And I've been, like, you know, handpicking the creators I like, you know, and reading their stuff. And I totally forgot about Peter David.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, man, what about that Captain Marvel series that, like, they kept being like, well, we're going to cancel it. I mean, I think the theme of this episode for us is cancellation.
Yeah, seriously. I do remember that series. That's where Chris Cross was doing the art, right?
Right. And they were like, everyone's like, it's such a good series, don't cancel it. But nobody was buying it. And
I was definitely buying it. That's something I bought from, like, beginning to end.
Oh, really? I didn't buy it. I mean, I know that was, like, right at the start of college. And, like, I think I bought in during college, it was like,
if it wasn't Starman or, like,
well, Man I think Morrison. Starman had ended.
Oh, okay.
Unless it, like, maybe, like, a couple issues, like, went over into college, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, I think I just read JSA, and that was it.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, all right, I'm a poor college kid,
right?
And the money I spend, it's mostly gonna be on beer.
So how are you liking this this Captain Marvel series?
It's good.
I remember Chris Cross getting a lot of, like, angry fan letters. I think they even printed them. Like, I remember seeing them on, you know, comics news groups back in Usenet days. But then also, like, there are angry letters being written into the letters page about the way he drew Rick Jones, because he updated his look by just, you know, giving him a goatee and like a Caesar cut, which was popular back then. And people were like, you're trying to make Rick Jones Puerto Rican. Yeah, the most racist of people writing in. But Chris Cross actually posted a picture of like Rick Jones's face without like any facial hair or hair on it. It was like, this is Rick Jones. And then he drew like Rick Jones' hat, classic haircut on it. And it looked just like classic Rick Jones. And then he took that hair, like erased that haircut, drew a goatee and like the short haircut he gave him. And that was, you know, the Rick Jones that he was showing in the comic book. And yet people were still like, oh, this is ridiculous. You're trying to make Rick Jones Puerto Rican, which is such a weird thing to like, you know, claim.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know.
Is Chris Cross Puerto Rican?
I know he comes from African American descent. I don't know if he's like mixed race. I really don't know.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like, they're like, that's why.
I say this because I know he has a John Byrne story involving Byrne not realizing. I believe Chris Cross is rather light skinned. So I think Chris Cross, John Byrne didn't realize Chris Cross was African American and, you know, made a rather like racist remark about somebody. And he was like, and this is why I hate John Byrne.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm probably doing that story disservice, but I do have to run. So we're going to have to end this episode.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue reading Captain Marvel and I'll let you know what I think.
All right. Well, everybody. And if you want to read along with Dave, you could get the Marvel Digital Unlimited app. They've got a great deal going right now. The Plus membership includes the never released Marvel Legends Rescue figure, which was promised to Marvel Legends fans for years, like Pepper Potts and the Iron Man armor. But we're finally getting it. But the only way to get it is to become a Marvel Digital Unlimited Plus member. It's $100 a year. You get a year of Marvel Digital Unlimited. You get that figure. You get a bunch of variant cover comics that are all S.H.I.E.L.D. themed this year. And I believe in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agents of Carter pins as well. They're really throwing out like everything in here.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
All right, so guys, we will see you next week. In the meantime, have an awesome Tuesday night. All right, sorry. I have to, our real estate agent, I got to give her a call. We have to have a conference call with her.
Okay. Hey, tomorrow, can we chat via the Google chat? I've got some questions. We bought tickets to a Broadway play way back in like the springtime, and it seems like the Pope is leaving New York that day, and I just wanted to get your opinion on like how crazy it would be to actually go to that show.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye.